and welcome to the Jeff Blumenkrantz Songbook Podcast, Month Upon a Time, Episode 9. It's February, and I'm so excited to introduce my special guest. I met her almost exactly 2 years ago, and I've had a big talent crush on her ever since. Of course, it's Dee Rossioli.
Yay!
Welcome, Dee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
No, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
No. Thank you.
No.
Oh, my
seriously.
God. And then he punched her.
We're going to get in a fight.
So I met Dee doing this crazy, just crazy.
You have no idea.
Theater.
You can't even explain.
It's a theater game called the 24-Hour Musicals, where they bring a bunch of artists together on a Sunday night at, like, it wasn't even 8 o'clock. It was like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it was late. Yeah.
And then on Monday night at 8 o'clock, there is a performance of musicals that were written and rehearsed in that period. It's not even, they should call it the 22-hour musicals.
I feel like I, like, break out in a sweat even when you're just talking about it.
I know, you're glistening. So here's what happened. There was, you know, everybody congregates on Sunday night, and all the actors have to get up and sing for like 30 seconds or a minute a cappella, just so the writers get a sense of who's in the room. And we're all going around. I think you were maybe the only actor I'd never seen before. I had no idea who you were.
Because that's when I was playing Elphaba on Broadway. That was and I was new.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that.
Oh.
And I thought you were just like some random person that had been invited to the game.
Aw, come on.
Seriously. So you get up, and Dee gets up, and she sings On Top of Spaghetti.
With my own spin.
Well, it was so, like, original and kind of weird and witty and funny, and her voice is amazing. And everyone's like, who is she? And then in the show that you were in, you were also, again, so, it was a very witty performance. And I remember going up to you at the after party and being like, you are so special. You are so talented. And I think, at the time, I thought I was saying this to, like, girl who just got off the bus.
Well, kind of did.
Well, I went home and Googled you, and I was mortified.
Oh, my God.
I believe at the time you had already distinguished yourself as having played Elphaba more times than anybody else in North America. I was like, I'm such a dick. I was so patronizing.
No, you weren't. I took that. No, I loved it. I had 2 glasses of wine, and it's a night off. We had a great time. And then, oh, my God, it was great to meet you and talk to you and get those compliments. It was beautiful and wonderful.
Thanks. Well, you are just, you're so undeniably great. And I also want to say one more thing, and then I'm not going to actually let you talk a little bit. But everybody I meet who has done Wicked or has been on the tour or whatever, I'm always like, did you do it with Dee Rossioli? And they're like, oh, yes, she's the best.
Oh, no,
top of the line, top of the line. Everybody has said you are the queen Elphaba.
Yes.
So.
That's awesome.
Can you, I mean, I'm just dying to hear you talk about that. I mean, that experience.
It was a crazy experience because I literally went from waitressing to being the Elphaba standby in Chicago.
Were you living in Chicago at the time?
No. I was in New York and I auditioned and got the standby and then moved to Chicago because of the show. And yeah, I was waitressing and hosting downtown. And then all of a sudden I got this huge job. And I, before that, the only job I really had was the non-equity tour of Cats.
Wow. This was like your first, it
was my first equity gig.
Get out.
Yeah, I got my equity card from Wicked. I mean, I was like shot out. It was like 0 to 60. And it was crazy. And I mean, I really had no idea what was going on. And I didn't have, it was kind of good that way because I didn't realize, I mean, I knew how big Elphaba was and I knew how big Wicked was, but I think what helped me was I didn't put that pressure on myself. And I think that I was able to relax and just kind of do the job that I had to do. And I feel like it worked to my advantage, like not kind of going into it kind of wide-eyed and naive. Eventually, I had to lose that. And
get wise.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the experience overall was just an incredible growing experience. And I mean, I did the show from 2006. And I just completed the tour in October 2nd.
Wow.
11. I had taken like a year, there was like a year where I didn't do anything, I think. After Broadway, I finished Broadway in March of 2010.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole idea that you had taken your day off from Elphaba to go do the 24-hour musical.
Oh, I was freaking out.
Because everybody else in that show was like, I mean, was anybody else in a show? No, just
Elphaba. I don't know.
Just Elphaba.
I was definitely freaking out. I was like, oh my God, my voice is not going to work because I'm going to do everything I needed to do.
Oh my God, like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But so you started first equity job.
Yep.
Standby, like not in the ensemble?
Nope, standby.
Just standby. And were you going on a lot like right off the bat?
In the very beginning, no. But then I'd say in about 3-4 months into my contract that I was on twice a week guaranteed, which was awesome. You know, it was great for the girl that was doing the role because she didn't have to, you know, strain
crank
yourself.
Eight,
yeah, exactly. Doing 6 performances and doing 8 performances are very different, and 6 is a very doable number. It's the 8 that makes it, you have to live like a nun, and it's really, really difficult.
Right.
But I was thankful that, you know, I was able to go on twice a week because I feel like it kind of geared me up to when I eventually took over. But I'll tell you what, when I, the girl went on vacation and I did a full week of performances, and I can't, when she came back, I said, people should be laying rose petals at your feet. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I felt like I was just, it was so stressful to do that week of performances because you just feel like you're not going to make it, especially when you're not used to doing it. I mean, eventually it's muscle memory and you get accustomed to, you know, the strain of it. But boy, I'll tell you what, that was definitely a learning. I learned how much I can push and how much when I needed to stop.
Did it ever break?
Did I ever reach a breaking point?
Yeah, I mean, did you ever, let's just go back. Let's get this chronological.
Okay.
So how long were you standby?
I was standby about 10 months.
And then you took over?
I took over.
In that production?
Yes, in that production I took over, I think it was December 12th, 2006.
But that's so exact. You remember it
I know.
Beautifully.
That's a really big day.
So once you started, and were you doing 8 a week or were you doing 6?
Yeah, no, I was doing 8 a week. I've always done 8 a week.
Because you're a superstar.
Yeah, thanks. No, that's, I just feel like, again, that feeling of not realizing how big it was, you know, and like your body gets used to it. Like I realized that I wasn't a machine and I'm not a CD. And that, you know, I'm going to make mistakes and I'm not always going to sound perfect. And I didn't beat myself up too much when I didn't sound perfect. And I feel like I also started slow when I first took over. A lot of girls, they just, they're balls to the wall and it's amazing when they do it. But I wasn't at that point yet. I wasn't able to be as hard on my voice as a lot of people were and get away with it. So I feel like in the beginning I was probably a little safer compared to what I, you know, ended up doing on the tour later.
Did you keep on like testing the limits?
Yeah, and I think just the more comfortable I got with the role in general, the more I started to push and to get deeper into the character, and then that informed everything. So it was like everything was kind of, I you know, essentially I was growing, but in a big way.
How different would you say your first, let's just say December 12th of that year, that performance was from the last one you gave on the most recent production you just left?
Oh, I mean, it's like a little baby lion cub and a lioness. I mean, honestly, like that's
like just deepened, vocally deepened, acting wise.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Vocally. And not even just for the show, but just me as a singer, I feel like I started to find my voice and, like I said, know the limits of my voice. And yeah, just in the choices that I was making, I feel like it's such a big role that you kind of, you don't realize the scope of what you're doing. So I feel like there's a lot of things that I glossed over, and I feel like at the end, when I was doing the tour, I was being very specific. And I feel like that helped tell the story more. I mean, obviously it does when you're just more specific, but yeah, it just kind of all comes together as a whole. I mean, I had so long to do it too. I mean, a lot of people only have like 9 months, you know, and it's like,
yeah, they
it's
really hard. shuffle those girls around.
Yeah, they do. I was thankful because I feel like that role in general is just in my body. It's in my voice from the get-go. It was. They're all notes that I don't have to struggle for. So that was, I think, the starting point. That was good. So anybody that has that in them will be able to sustain something. And I feel like that was the best foundation I could have asked for, because then I was able, like I said, be able to build and build and build and grow and, you know, like get deeper and, you know, vocally more expansive and ferocious as it went on.
And do you think you're done, or do you think that you could do it again?
Well, I think I have it in me to do more. I would be thankful for the job because I want to be a working actor. There are no plans for me to do it anymore in the future, but, you know, I've thought that a few times before, and then I end up doing the show again. So you almost have to wait and see, and, you know, maybe I'll appear somewhere. Who knows?
Well, what do you think? Should we move around to the song?
Yeah.
Anya.
I love this song.
Thanks. Well, I have to thank the person who suggested the idea to me. It's another college friend. This is the second month in a row that a college buddy of mine has given me the winning suggestion. and this one comes from Marjorie Harris Newman, who gave me this idea on behalf of her sister, Melanie Harris, who has a February 14th birthday. And she just said that it's, well, obviously, you'll hear the song and you'll know what her point of view is about her February 14th birthday. And I also want to send out a shout out to my friends who have February 14th birthdays, who shared with me their experiences. Not that this song is reflective of their feelings about their birthday.
Be careful there. Be careful.
And I didn't talk to Melanie, so I actually don't know what her firsthand account is. But my friends Suzanne Thomas and Alan Filderman and Chantal Bilodeau and David Crane were all kind enough to share with me their thoughts. So thanks to you all. Thanks to Marjorie for the idea. And I'm very excited to introduce Dee Rossioli singing Double Whammy Birthday.
Crappy birthday to me. Crappy birthday to me. 'Cause it's Valentine's Day and I'm alone. Double whammy birthday. Birthday double whammy. Two big disappointments rolled into one. Fun. A day when nobody's free to celebrate me. A day that's designed to remind me that nobody wants to date me. Double whammy birthday. Birthday double whammy. Rarely have a boyfriend on my special day. Yay. As soon as they spot that double whammy approaching, the panic begins and they start eyeing the door. All that commitment, all those gifts centered on one big night. Guess it's easier to dump me than to treat their lady right. I'm making it a triple whammy birthday. Birthday triple whammy. Valentine's and birthday, plus a breakup too. Woo! While everyone's out there having sex, I hunker down with my honey nut checks. Double whammy birthday, a birthday double whammy. Thinking how happy I might be if double whammy hadn't been saddled on me. To have a normal birthday, that would be so preferred. And every day like September 10th or April 23rd. A day with a cake that's not shaped like a heart. A day when I might not be falling apart. When people might come to a party that's just for me. And it wouldn't matter if no one was dying with lust for me. Watching TV. Wee! Instead of bemoaning my lousy fate, maybe I oughta just change the date of my double whammy birthday. I'm switching it to Earth Day, and everyone can come and plant a tree. At least I'll have something I can count on to grow old and celebrate my double whammy birthday.
You are amazing. Amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, just
that song is amazing. Thank you. It's too much fun.
Oh, like the voice just gives and gives, but then you're also so funny, and I just love everything about you.
Oh, thank you so much. I had so much fun doing it. Seriously.
Oh God,
it got stuck in my head too. It's very, very catchy. I'm warning you, listeners. I'll be singing the song for the rest of today.
Oh, thanks. And I don't know if I don't know if everybody realizes this. Like, if you were interested in singing these songs, they are actually, I do sell the sheet music for all these songs from the song cycle on my website. So, FYI.
Take a stab.
Yeah, try it. You won't be as good as Di Rossioli, something to strive for.
Oh God, he's so good to me.
So what's next? Do you have anything specific on the online?
I do. I have my Di Rossioli fan page. It's on Facebook.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I use that expression online, but you're actually I meant in the hopper, but,
oh,
but
yeah,
I know,
yeah,
I'm curious. I want to hear about this. What do you have online?
You mean like next up?
No, I want to hear about the Di Rossioli fan page.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was actually created by some fans of Wicked.
Yeah.
And it's literally called Di Rossioli fan page. It's a really good name. And yeah, a lot of the fans from the show and other things that I've done have kind of congregated in this one place. And I do. That's people always saying, well, what's next for you? What are you doing next? How can I keep track? Or I usually post things on there, and I'll post like when I do concerts. Usually, the footage from the concerts gets posted up there. And
you'll post about this on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Totally. I mean.
And what else? What else? Like, where's the Di Rossioli album?
Oh my God. You know, I just recorded a demo with a friend of mine, Brian Loudermilk, who is another composer.
Oh yeah, sure.
And he was saying the same thing. He's like, you gotta do a CD. And I really, really want to do it. And I'm afraid. So I know it's something that I have to tackle. And, you know, he was telling me.
What are you afraid of?
I don't know. I just don't know what I would sing.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, really. That's the hard thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, maybe the fans should start, like, if I wish what would be great is if they started putting on Facebook songs that they wanted to hear. Because if I could do, an album of songs that I know people want to hear, that would be ideal. And if it would be, like, what would be really great is if it were people, like, you know, some of your songs and some of my other composer friends' songs, that would be great to, like, do, like, a big compilation of, like, things of my
like,
friends.
So things people want to hear and then our songs.
Both. Like, I was saying that they're going to be both.
Like things people don't want to hear. No, I was making a joke.
But yeah, I think that I am going to do it. And, you know, Brian, he's like, you just have to make a date that you're doing it and say you're doing it and get that deadline so that you'll be under a crunch. And he's absolutely right. But I don't know when I'm going to make that date, but it's going to have to happen.
And then you can have a Kickstarter campaign.
Oh! Just my hair will fall out from all the stress.
Oh. What else? What else? What do you have your eye on? Anything? Is there anything you're like, oh, I've got to do this thing?
Honestly, I really would like to do Into the Woods in the park this summer.
Yes.
In any capacity.
Really?
That'd be great. Yeah, that would be just, what a dream that would be.
Oh, I vote yes.
Oh, me too. Let's see if the public. Hey, public.
I see. I'm baffled. I mean, I know you've been doing Wicked for all these years, but like, I don't understand why you're not opening every Broadway show.
I feel like I'm a very specific type.
I disagree.
Oh,
I
really?
Think, yes.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I always feel like maybe that's my problem, is that I'm very specific.
I don't think so. I think you could be a leading lady. I think you could be play a character role. I feel like could like totally span the I don't even know what you call them.
The stereotype of roles?
Yes.
What would you call that? I don't even know.
The
types?
Types.
We work in musical theater.
We don't have big vocabulary. That word was too big. We don't have a lot of words to pick at.
My word bank is very limited.
It's very poor.
I don't know why I keep doing a New York accent.
I know, me too.
It just seems so easy to slip into it.
I know. It's like I slip into like either gay voice or Jewish New York Jew voice.
Oh yeah, and I also do like the oh my god, like the
Valley Girl voice.
Yeah,
I'm not above Valley Girl.
No, I also have funny. You know, I really would like to do cartoon voices.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Or you could be like the next Disney princess.
Oh, that would be nice.
Wouldn't it?
It would. It would be really nice.
It has been such a pleasure talking to you, and especially singing with you. I mean, I didn't sing, but having you sing my songs is really fun. Thank you so much for being here.
It's very easy singing your songs. Thank you. And write good ones.
Thanks. And thank you to Marjorie Harris Newman again for the idea.
Yeah, Marjorie.
Yeah. And to all my friends with Valentine's Day birthdays. Sorry.
Wait,
what?
I have a summer birthday, and I was always upset because I was never in school, and I could never get cupcake day. Like, you bring cupcakes, and maybe you should write a song about that.
I've already done all the summer months, so sorry. God. Look for me.
No.
This will be inspiration for you to write to start writing.
I suppose. Get it out. Start somewhere, yeah.
Get it out.
All trapped inside.
Oh, thanks again, Dee.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening. And this is Jeff and Dee saying bye.